Welcome back to another prologue for Tyrant of the Dark Star. I'm Aubrey, your GM, and with me today is Aki. Aki, say hi and tell them who you're playing.
Aki says hi. Tonight I will be playing Gravewing. We both use she, her pronouns.
Yes. So we see the cell in Cold Iron Prison. Three people are already in it, and a fourth is brought forward. Bag on the head, and shoved into the cell with the rest of them. And that's where we jump backwards a bit. It's a week or two before these events, and late afternoon by this point, and whatever jobs or anything you had during the day, you've probably finished by now. It is near the end of the Harvest Festival, the last couple of days of it. As you walk through the streets, you see farmers and various other people selling their goods, whatever they've managed to grow this season. This season wasn't as good as the last, and that's kind of a story people have been telling for the past few years. Each year it's a little bit harder to gather that magic together to grow the crops. But people smile and pretend like everything's okay. And you're heading to a very familiar shop in the Darklight Bazaar.
I'm debating on how much I should be describing myself because I'm assuming that I'm in civilian wear.
You are. Mm-hmm. You could at least give us just looking over you, what would a person notice the first time?
You would notice very, it's hard to say that it's long hair rather than the hair has a lot of texture to it, a lot of layers, and even when it seems to be well kept, it's messy. A lot of the bangs are like quite long, so it goes over like the eyes and whatnot. This is definitely someone who doesn't want to stand out visually, doesn't want to be looked at. However, she is on the shorter side. She's like, what, like 5'2", 5'3", maybe. And she wears modest clothes that are very long in hem, in seams. The colors are very muted to kind of blend in with the background to, once again, not attract attention. Probably the most color on her are these tinted glasses. The color tint is somewhere between like an orange-red in hue, and there's really no point in wearing them if your hair covers them, but it's there. You can see it, the glass through the bangs. Everything else, though, it's modest. It's well kept. It's still kind of messy when it comes to the hair. I would say somebody who looks like they've had a long day, but probably work somewhere potentially nicer.
Yeah, and you approach the sign doesn't have a name, but it has a sort of wood etching of two firearms that are crossed. And, you know, it's late in the afternoon and he doesn't have any customers. So, you know, you can head on in.
I don't knock. I don't do anything like that. I know this shop. I know who runs this shop. We are on a basis where I respect your space, but maybe I don't respect you. So, yeah, I just walk in. Is it time for closing?
Yeah, now is a pretty decent time to close. This shop is kind of hidden in a way where you will only know where it is if you're looking for it. You know, has a very regular clientele, but, you know, not a lot of people who wander in off the street.
Yeah, I just turned that sign from open to close straight up. If it's time, it's time. I don't care. It's closed. Shop is closed.
And as you do that, a man looks up from where the register is. He is these sort of quartz crystals that sort of for hair, and you can kind of see the sort of the crystals on his like face that sort of form a bit of a beard as well. And he smiles at you, gives you kind of a smile, is like, thanks for that. I should have probably done that a couple minutes ago, but that's fine. You got it now.
Long day. Any customers?
Usual couple of people coming from the Clockwork Halls for stuff that they can't get there.
Where are the kids?
Widow is dropping them off with Proxy and her family for the night.
Okay. I'm assuming then that means there's a job.
Yes, there is. And this person, you know, is Yellow Jacket, pulls the goggles that, you know, the sort of kind of a mix between like crafter's eyepiece and jeweler specs, like up his forehead, and, you know, moves around the counter, having you see he was working on a gun, and says, got a note from a friend in Clockwork Halls, and we'll hand you the note. It's probably something that we should look into.
I will grab the front part of my bangs and just move them aside so I can actually read this damn thing. Probably like fix my glasses as well. Just one of those reads. What's on it?
You see, it is a, you see the name Juniper Novak, and you see it says Juniper Novak is being targeted by the Unbroken. They want whatever she's working on.
Do I know what the Unbroken are?
Yes, I would say you definitely know. The Unbroken are a weird kind of hidden faction in the city. They have their fingers in so many pies. They control things, but it's hard to pin down exactly who their members are. But you have dealt with them enough to know that the members of the Unbroken are working towards something in the city. It's hard to tell exactly what, but it probably isn't good.
Do I have beef with the Unbroken? Or do the Unbroken have beef with me? That's a much better question.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably mutual beef at this point.
Mm-hmm. I just click my tongue. Just go, okay.
Relatively sure that a very specific person who hurt you in the past was a member of the Unbroken.
There's a lot of people that have hurt me in the past.
There's one very specific one that, you know, has left a mark.
Left a mark. Okay. Okay, I do more than click my tongue. I run my whole tongue, like, inside my bottom lip, so you can kind of, like, see, like, you know, I'm feeling tense. But, enough to keep, like, composure. And I'll just go, okay. Well, then that's not good. Is it just you and me, or is Widow coming along too?
She'll be along before too long. I thought we could get a jump on preparation.
Yep, let me just keep my shit somewhere.
I have something that I think you might want to take a look at anyways. I've been working on it for a bit.
Oh no, you sound excited.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Is it gonna blow up on me, or is it gonna work?
This one shouldn't. This should work.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while since I've had anything blow up. Not on purpose.
Look, I like my fingers. I like having them. But they're all fucking singed off at the tip from the last time I tried.
Hey, just think about it. No fingertips. No fingerprints.
Yay, wow.
And you watch as Yellow Jacket sort of walks behind the the counter and pulls out these bracelets. And you notice that, like, they kind of have, like, these very nice gems embedded in them, and sort of put them on the counter and says, while you're wearing these, this should kind of help you, you know, you punch and then you can kind of, like, control the elements and stuff. I don't get it. I just shoot guns. But this, I think, will allow you to channel it a little bit better, maybe a little bit more focused with your channeling.
You want me to wear it on my wrist? Am I gonna lose them? And she just kind of, like, rubs it at the thought of it
popping
off.
Nothing in here that should explode. This metal is shown to be very good at conducting power. And the gems themselves, they were pretty penny, but, you know, I think that's going to be worth it in the end.
Okay. I will try them out this time. I'll take them. And I'll look at them. How blingy is it? Because I'm a very discreet person, you know.
It is not incredibly, and they're not like big bulky gauntlets or anything. They're kind of like little sort of things that go around your wrist. The metal has a very nice filigree to it. And, you know, at the top there are a gem. It's kind of like the idea of you channel this power up through these bracelets, and that will like supposedly give you a better sort of mechanically would give you a bonus.
I'll look at them and be like, well, the work is nice. That's good. You did good.
I mean, I'll take it. It's the closest thing I'll ever get to a compliment from you, so I'll take it.
I will put my things away. My suit is probably somewhere in the back, so I'll just put my stuff. I have a little corner. That little corner is mine. It does not take up much space. So, like, and it's also rather neat. So, you know, I just put things where they need to be. And I will, you know, get my suit ready. And I'll wear the stuff. I'll wear the new little bracelet thing.
Yeah, they fit pretty well in with your suit. Like, what does your suit look like?
My suit is visually, it looks big and clunky. It looks heavy. It is the type of suit that has an overcoat for its overcoat kind of scenario. There's a lot of there's a lot of layers to it, honestly. And most of it is honestly, actually, over time, we probably have gotten a chance to make it look a little nicer because it's a symbol. I think at the very top, this top vest type thing, that has the most work on it, and that is probably the symbol that people associate with me, just right up on the chest, and it is very fine work to show the shape of a moth, specifically the wings. And honestly, you could totally mistake me for a butterfly, but like at this point with my years and my and reputation, you know what this looks like, what this means. We ain't a butterfly. It also has fur. Very, very short, like around the neck hemline area, rather than a cowl. It's just it's some nice, like soft, almost white fur. The overcoat also has a really fun little tail, I guess, to it. The tails they just look like a moth. You know what moth tails look like, specifically the lunar moths ones. So those type of little wispy two-cut tails. The coat does that at the end, just to, you know, really put this through together. Maybe the coat got fucked up too many times and we're like, let's just leave it. It looks like what I look like anyways. Yeah. You know, it was one of those things. Everything about it, lots, like there's some belts, there's some buckles going on. I look like Eileen, like from Bloodborne, but with less feathers and more space at the bottom to move around. The front part of my vest also actually leads to a much longer part, so it like cuts off into three sections, and that is intentional. When I actually put it on, it's actually very light. The fur part was mostly because my neck gets cold, and I put my hair up. I throw my bangs like all the way back, and then they just pop out, sort of looking like antenna at this part. My hair is also very, very dark. Everything about this kind of matches. I look like Batman, but a moth at this point. And I have these, instead of like the smaller goggles, I have much bigger goggles that don't really go over my head too much, but they obscure like a lot of my face, so that way I can just do what I need to do and keep my identity intact, sort of. Also, I wear gloves. They're not really gloves, though. And honestly, at this point, with no fingertips, I might as well just not wear gloves. But for the purpose of this, I'm wearing gloves, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mechanically, the bracelets like act like a plus one for your kinesis channeling. You may or may not get to keep them. We'll see.
I know. I was gonna say thanks for giving me something I might not have.
And while you're doing this, you hear the door open and you hear Yellow Jacket talking with, you know, his widow. And as you come out, you watch as, you know, they share kind of a quick moment before a mission like they always do. It is romantic in a way, but it's not, like, overly.
I will still walk in and go, ugh, why do I keep entering into these?
And Yellow Jacket will just roll his eyes and go to continuing to put on his outfit, and you see Widow, who has the long dark hair like you do. You look like you could probably be related in a way. You watch as they both gear up. Yellow Jacket's outfit is somewhere between a set of half plate. It's many different metal plates made out of a very lightweight alloy that are strung together under a sort of a long, sort of dusky yellow coat. And then you have Widow's, who is a much more sleek and tight-fitting outfit with sort of these red armor plates that attach to it. And a sort of a full face mask, and whereas Yellow Jacket wears the classic, like, domino mask.
Tuxedo.
Yep.
Mask.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that's all I always think of.
Yep.
Whenever it's that type of mask, tuxedo mask.
My job here is done. She didn't do anything.
That is majority of their relationship. Thank you.
I hate that you're right. But yes, after a short period of time, you were all geared up and, you know, you leave through the back entrance so nobody sees you.
Above table, I know where I'm going, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, like, I've been around.
Yep, and lucky for you, the Clockwork Halls is on the same side of the bridge, so you don't have to cross the bridge, you don't have to pay a toll or anything like that. It is a district that is relatively close, and you all have been doing this for a while, so you don't need to, you know the best routes to avoid notice, including occasionally slipping into the sewers or heading above the rooftops. Usually it's rooftops.
Yeah, I was like, I think I definitely prefer rooftops. Parkour, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, with devices like, Yellow Jacket has totally made a grapple gun, because that is also a thing that exists in the Pathfinder book.
You know what? I will probably give the bracelet a try when I channel elements, to just kind of give myself a boost.
Yeah.
As I climb and do my jumps and whatnot. That's kind of the only reason why I think I can wear this many layers. I'm very top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
With this costume, and I really do think it's because I can channel air.
Yeah, and they're not perfect, but they definitely seem to make it a little bit easier to channel it. It helps direct the energy a little bit better. But hey, it's a prototype.
I think I like the way it feels. But I'm not gonna tell him that yet.
Of course.
Yeah, no, this is like what? Like 5 minute test run? No. Let's see if you can hold up.
Exactly. So the eclipse has set for the day, and you can see the two moons in the skies, Sycorax and the Tyrant, and all of the stars. And sort of at a glance can see most of the major constellations. They're all very obvious in the sky. As you cross over from the Darklight Bazaar into Clockwork Halls. And as you enter Clockwork Halls, you kind of hear there is the sound of clockwork all around you, that kind of churning of gears, the tick-tick-ticking of clocks, as its eponymous name sort of represents. And you're entering the district at a time where a lot of the union members are leaving the job and heading home. And from one of the taller buildings, you can kind of look out over the district. And this is where I am going to ask for the first roll. I need a perception check.
Nineteen.
So you are looking out, sort of surveying the district. Yellow Jacket has a small spyglass that he hands you. And you can sort of get a closer look. And you spot people who are suspicious pretty quickly, because most of the people who are in this district are workers. There are not exactly a lot of nobility that is in Clockwork Halls, and most of the people who are considered nobility in Clockwork Halls are still workers and work in the unions. These are people whose outfits are too nice. Like, they're dressed like the workers, but you notice the lack of dirt and grease stains on their hands or their, you know, like their clothes. Like, someone at first glance would probably just think these are people. And they are moving through the crowds, heading in a very specific direction.
Can I, like, look further up to see, like, you know, what that direction actually is?
They're heading for, like, sort of bypassing the factories and everything are and heading to the more residential area. You're sure if Juniper is somewhere, more likely than not, is in the residential.
Mm-hmm. I will point it out to Widow and such. Be like, we better move fast.
And she nods, and will also take a quick look over the people as Yellow Jacket pulls out a couple of small items. You watch as he he has a rifle on his back, and he pulls it out and sort of tunes a couple of things on it. And he says, I can get a little bit closer and be your support from on high.
Mm-hmm. I think I think Widow and I are very melee heavy, me being the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think we're the quietest, so definitely us going in makes sense. Can you give me like a really quick like layout of what the residential buildings like look like? Because I want to see if there's like multiple entrances, multiple exits type of scenario.
So the Clockwork Halls has done pretty well for itself over the past 20 years or so, moving up from like the sort of very rickety looking apartment buildings to there's essentially lines of brownstones that most of the people in Clockwork Halls live in. They're all very close together, but there is a definite front entrance and back entrance and several windows. Usually most of the brownstones are two floors. There are a couple that are three, but those belong to the more important people in the district. As far as you know, Juniper is probably in one of the two floor ones, being just a inventor.
Would she be like, would I know ahead of time if she was like living alone or like roommates kind of scenario?
Yellow Jacket would have done some like reconnaissance and stuff, and just general basic idea of like it, the idea of, yeah, she lives alone currently.
Okay. Then I think it makes more sense if I go high and Widow goes low.
Yeah, it does. Give me a stealth check to see how well you stay out of sight as you're tailing these people.
1 second. Let me see if I can finagle something here. He's while saying, I'm pretty sure we're more stealthy. And I do have the stats for it. I'm just not trained in it. Not yet. Damn it. Okay.
Or if you are going high, I would allow you to make an acrobatics check if you have it.
I do have acrobatics. So I would rather do acrobatics.
Yeah, you can do acrobatics.
Yeah. Okay. Seventeen.
You are relatively sure that you aren't noticed as you follow these people. Moving across rooftop to rooftop, and you watch as Widow is keeping to the shadows. And you eventually are able to pinpoint where they're going before the group has arrived there yet. It is this brownstone in the middle of the sort of like a middle of a block, and there is a light in the upper window right now.
I'd like to get in there. I'd like to get in there. I would ideally like to get in there quietly, but I would like to get in there quietly. It makes the most sense. I don't want to like break in through the window like how Batman does swinging. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do that. This is technically a residential area. I'm trying to get in though, for sure.
Yeah. You will find that the window on the top floor is not locked. So you could easily slide it up, sort of pull it up and then slide in.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in a bedroom, it looks like. There's a starlight lamp on one of the tables, sort of glowing with sort of that bluish starlight. And on the table in front of you is paper all over the place. All of it kind of goes up onto the wall. These are alchemical formulas and all sorts of just... Do you have crafting or any kind... I don't think you have any kind of lores that would know about alchemy. But if you have crafting, you could roll crafting.
Don't have crafting. I have society.
Oh, I thought you were all society.
Mm-hmm. 21.
21? You see... you are relatively sure that this is alchemical in some way. You know, you kind of recognize measurements and some ingredients. And on the desk in front are these sort of like these capsules. They look like you twist and open them. And they are sort of in various states of disrepair as it looks like this person, Juniper, is learning how to take them apart, put them back together. And the capsules would probably be filled with something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is not really my purview, per se. That's why I keep Yellow Jacket around. Is there anything that I would recognize being something like maybe specific notes I could copy? Like if I found a loose piece of paper and like, I don't know, fucking charcoal, chalk, a pencil, and I could just, you know, do the method of putting the paper on top and scribbling down on top of it so that way it copies.
Yeah, you could do that. There is a piece of paper next to the these like capsules, and you could easily do the trick and copy stuff down. A lot of the words are in a shorthand, but you do recognize measurements and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ideally I'm going to be giving it to Yellow Jacket and be like, look at what I found. I don't know what this means. I literally did not pass grade school. You know, stuff like that.
And that's when you hear the sound on the steps behind you, followed by what sounds like knocking at the front door.
I'm fast. Can I get to... Well, Juniper's not in here, not in this room, but, like, could I step out and, like, look for her? I'm assuming she will be going towards the door. I would like to try and stop her.
So when you start moving, the next thing you hear is the sound of, it sounds like someone has fallen. On the steps. And then there's sounds of pain. And then there's like the knocking is getting louder.
If I hear pain, I'm gonna go towards it.
Yeah, and when you open the door, that's when you smell it. The blood. You've become pretty... No, blood smells like at this point. And sort of the way the steps work, there is like they go up a little bit, turn on like a small landing, and then come back up. Sort of sprawled out on that landing is a half-elven girl with, you know, messy brown hair, and her hands are holding her gut, which is bleeding.
Ooh, That's my target. I'm gonna go to her.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, that's, she's clutching her stomach, right? Because guts. So I'm assuming that's where she was hurt. Do I see, like, a trail that could indicate where it went?
It seemed like she was climbing the stairs for a reason, so it maybe happened somewhere in the living room.
Could I grab her and, like, bring her to the room that I was just in, which I'm assuming is her room?
Yes. It definitely appears to be. She's lost a bit of blood. So there's, like, weak attempts to, like, push you off, but she doesn't have the strength.
When she tries to push me off, I will just take her hands, put it back where it's supposed to be on the wound, and just be like, relax. I'm here to protect you.
And she just sort of weakly says, make sure they don't get the research. It's what we need. It's the cure.
Cure for what?
Ghoul fever.
Where is it?
Room. I haven't been able to.
If she starts pointing, I'm just going
just
to
put the hand back on this.
No, it's not even that. I will take her to where she's pointing. I am a strong girl. I will pick her up and just.
Pick her up and start carrying her up the stairs, that's when you hear the splintering of the door as somebody kicked it in. And then you hear the sounds of fighting following that. You know, at this point, Widow would have engaged.
Shit. Okay, I'm doing this as fast as possible.
And that's what you carry Juniper up into the room, and with the weekly will point at the desk, the capsules on the desk, and the papers that are around them.
Okay, I'm going to do the equivalent of, like, slapping all of it off the table, but instead of on the floor, it's into my pockets.
Yeah, and the capsules are, like, yay big. They're a sort of, if you ever try to open them, they make kind of like a hissing sound, as if they are aerosolized in a way.
Wild things to be putting in my pockets.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm doing it because, I mean, like, in theory, I do have, like, a belt to, like, I have, like, a bandolier type of thing to store these in. That's where I'm gonna be storing said things, you know? Including the papers. I'm about to fold them up as small as I can, okay? We're talking 6-7 folds of paper here. So that way I can put them more appropriately into my stuff. Your research is getting folded, basically. This is also so that way I could, like, I will... But my intentions are probably to... I know that Widow can take care of herself. I still want to make sure. So as I'm doing all of this, I'm going to look at Juniper and just be like, what did that to you?
She just goes, someone was in my kitchen. They wore a mask. I didn't see their face. They just stabbed. Knife. Guts.
I'm gonna just start ripping her bed sheets or something, you know, just so that way I can low-key tourniquet this wound. And then also, once again, make her hold it, because this is... I don't do first aid. This is the best.
So you don't have any medicine?
No, I don't have any medicine, but I can still make you that check.
Yeah, let's make an untrained Mets check.
Yeah, I could still do that. It's just a flat, flat dice D20. Roll. Yeah, it's just a flat D20. Not bad for a flat D20, but could be worse. 13.
I will say that it is not the DC 15 of treat wounds. I will say you are stabilizing it, so you're at least, you know, putting pressure on it so that it doesn't bleed more, but you are not making any progress in healing.
Yep. I think it really
is just... But you haven't
made
it worse.
Yeah, I think it really is just, at this point, a hold on. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I gotta deal with whatever's downstairs.
Yeah, and as you're doing this, you hear the familiar sound of a crack of a rifle.
Okay, so this is a much bigger fight then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And off in the distance, you hear the ringing of a bell, which is usually how guards are summoned. Because as far as general people know, it looks like a vigilante has just jumped a bunch of people who work in the Clockwork Halls.
Mm-hmm,
at least
mm-hmm,
from
mm-hmm.
first glance.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at her. Keep her hands where the tourniquet is. And just be like, you need to hold on to this. Okay?
And we'll hold it. Hold it. And you kind of see, like, skin going extremely pale. Juniper has lost a lot of blood.
Oh, shit. Well, of guard. Oh, shit. Okay. There's no fucking way I'll be able to carry her out and run around. Like, no fucking way. She's like so wounded. I'll just make it worse, I think, if I jostle her that much. All right, yeah, I guess I'm going to leave her there. So I can go grab my sister and get out.
Yeah, you have the information. Who knows if Juniper will be okay or... What happens? It's a question for later. You've stabilized her as much as she can, but without someone who actually knows medical stuff. Who knows? And you... Do you go out the window? Do you run down? How is this?
Okay, hold on a second. I'm actually like debating so hard right now.
Because this window overlooks the front, like where this fight is happening. You could go down through go out through the window and down, or you could go through, like go down the stairs and out through.
I'll go out the window and down, probably. Window was already unlocked, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and as you do, you're looking out the window and heading down. That's when you notice that the initial thugs seem to be dealt with, but there seems to be a growing contingent of guards.
Do I see Widow?
You do, GM Scott, sword up in her sort of fighting stance as a swashbuckler, and kind of keeping them away. That is what she's doing, is she's fighting in a way to keep them at a distance.
The guards?
Yeah, because there are like 7 or 8 of them, and there's one of her.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. I have. One second. Let me just grab it.
Mm-hmm.
I have lengthy diversion. So I'd like to divert the guard's attention so that way she has a better chance of getting away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm by the house, so maybe I can lead the guards into the fucking house.
That is a possibility.
You know, to help, mm-hmm. actually. So I'm trying to think how to do a good diversion. Could I just like send, how far away are they from me actually?
They are on, you're like on the second floor, they're down on the first floor, so like no more than 15, 20 feet away from you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to really quickly, I would like to find what it's called first, actually. That's what I should do. I'd like to like really quickly channel my element being air, so that way I can just send a blast of air towards one of the guards. I have a range of 60 feet. So that way, one, I hit them and they can follow me afterwards. But two, if I'm already up here, they technically have a better chance of dealing with me who's stuck in a house.
Yeah.
So that's my idea of said lengthy diversion. I technically have to roll deception, I think, for it. But like, whatever. I mean, you're GM, so you tell me what to do.
Deception's a good one. Because you are trying to deceive them. And I will roll her widow's stealth. She will take the deception to vanish back into the shadows and try and escape.
That's an 18 on the die, so 23 for my deception.
And I will say that like counts as using the aid action for her as well, so she'll get her roll isn't amazing, but she is able to disengage from the fight and is doing it in a way that she is going to lead them like into the house. She's sort of near where the front door is, so she's going to back into the house and hope to lose them as she heads out the back. But the guards are very distracted by what you did. Some of them are blown off their feet. Some of them move to follow, but not incredibly quickly. Widow does have a couple second head start.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wish you further egg them on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By going, hey, fuckers. There's like a whole lot of blood in this house. And I flip them off.
Give me an intimidation check.
Thank God I'm trained in intimidation. Wait, do I have that? No, I chose something else. Okay, good, good, good. That made sense. Dirty 20.
Dirty 20? Yeah, no, you're getting their attention. You are proving to be the more dangerous target. So you hear a bunch of footsteps running up the stairs as well. And several of the guards have crossbows and are going to shoot at you. So we have an 18, a 10, and a 21.
Only the 21 will hit.
All right. So it is 7 piercing damage as you are hit in probably the side or the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I literally go, ah! That's like I don't think I was expecting to be to be hit. I'm pretty nimble, but that's fine.
You don't know if Yellow Jacket has retreated already or something, but it's been a minute since there's been a shot.
Noted.
I'm gonna do my last minute check on Juniper before I have to dip.
Yeah, there is a... It's not looking great, but if somebody can get her medical attention, she will survive.
I think the most I do is make sure I keep her awake. And I just straight up go, okay, hey, like, you know, snap in her face. Just be like, I'm dipping. I've got your research. If you live, you come to above table. What is the shop's name?
It is, it's North Star Armaments.
You come to North Star Armaments. You don't tell the guard. You tell the guard and I find out you're not seeing your research again. Got it?
Yep.
Okay, stay awake. That's very important.
Staying awake, yep.
You need more bed sheets, you use the bed sheets. You can get new ones. Or just wash these, and that's it. That's all I'd say. And then I dip.
And so you do that, sort of jumping down. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I can dip.
All right, give me an acrobatics check to brace your fall.
I also have wind pillow.
Wind pillow. Yes.
Yeah, so I treat all falls as though they were 10 feet less.
Cool. This is mostly, I guess, just this roll, you won't take damage. This is mostly to see if you can kind of stay on your feet.
Yeah.
If you can do the parkour roll and keep moving rather than just sort of flop.
21 to parkour roll.
21? So, yeah, you do...
I just like jump out the window, let like my coat tails and stuff like that like fling all the way out so it looks like wings, and as I like land I just punch the ground and I'm good. Like punch the ground, let all the air kind of push to like cushion the fall a little bit. And then, you know, roll and run.
Yeah. As you start running, there's a crack of an unfamiliar rifle. And a 28. Does that hit you?
It does hit me, it doesn't crit.
Good to know. And that is going to be 13 damage.
No, how much damage was this one 13. Again? 13. Yeah.
Rolled so low.
It will take more than that to hit to keep me down. You said fortitude? Where is my thing? I'll never get used to seeing how high the fortitude is at this level.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, 24.
Fucking so wild. That's a failure.
I had a feeling.
As you become drained and fatigued, as something is... This bullet appears to be laced with something.
It's my turn to hold my side.
Yep.
Which sucks. There's blood. There's someone else's blood's on my glove. This is cross contamination right now. But like, okay.
Yeah, and that's when you see sort of about 20 feet down is... You've tangled with him before. You recognize the head of the Holy Blood, Elias Gore.
Just go, oh, you nasty bitch. And like, I'm holding my side. But I am tougher. Mm. And they should know that, so I'm gonna keep going.
All right. Let's see.
Yeah. Are there ways to make it harder for them to hit me?
Sure. Give me a. How would you like to do this? Would you like to, athletics to run, acrobatics to go up? Could try stealth as well to just try and break line of sight.
What about deception? Like, I faint one direction, go the other kind of vibe.
Sure. Sure, yeah, I guess if you one direction, go another, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. The other ones just sound like I'm just going, you know?
Mm.
That's why. I'm like, I'm trying to think of something that narratively could detour them, if that makes sense. How many hero points do I have right now?
One.
One? Could just die and then make a whole ass new character be kind of funny. Yeah, I'll use it. So worth, nat 20.
You are able to at least get them looking in another direction as you run. And as you run, kind of tears at you. This bullet is still lodged in your side. And I need another fortitude save, DC 30.
DC 30, can I, wait one second, can I realistically beat a 30? I think so, actually, but... No, I cannot realistically beat a 30. 23
is a failure, not a critical failure. Your exhaustion can't go up, but you are now drained 3. Question: does being drained 3 put you into negative hit points?
No, it does not take me to negative hit points according to this.
All right. Give me one last roll. Give me a. We'll do either athletics or acrobatics to sort of see how far you get before this toxin will knock you out, because it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I'm going to do athletics because I think it makes more sense to be pushing myself physically. Like this, I'm going to get 22.
You get... You're pretty sure you're almost out of the Clockwork District when, through blood loss and poison, you collapse. It's, you're not exactly sure how long you're out before you wake up in a cell. And we'll deal with all the repercussions of that at another time. Thank you all for joining us for another character prologue. We have a couple more, so you can meet the rest of our cast, and then we'll get into the first session. Just remember to follow Goblets and Gays everywhere on the internet, literally every website but Twitch. We are Goblets and Gays because Twitch doesn't let us have gay in the name. So we are GNG Streams.
You know, all the great stuff. If you haven't checked it out, check out season 2 of Mother May I. It is fantastic. And we hope to see you here next time for the next character prologue.
Bye.
Bye.
Where's my love? What will this love?